How's everybody doing?
Good,
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Jimmy. Thanks for asking. I appreciate that. I'm breathing. Hey, I want to do three things today. And the first thing I want to do is I want to teach you some big words. So if you haven't caught up on your summer reading, right? If you haven't caught up on that, I'm going to teach you some big words you can take home and impress your friends at dinner tonight. Pretty good deal, right? Then I'm going to teach you a truth and a lie. And the third thing I'm going to do is I'm going to share some good news from the most one of the most popular Bible verses on the planet. So, big words, truth and a lie, some good news from Scripture, and I'm just going to jump into our first word. And so I'm going to say it a couple times, and I'll have you repeat it after me. It is eudaimonia. Eudaimonia. Say it with me. Eudaimonia. Now say it by yourself. Eudaimonia. It's kind of a combination of pneumonia and edamame. Just kind of put them together. Just kind of made that up. I didn't really. Aristotle used this word, and it means a life well lived. That's what it means. So it's the name of our series that we've been talking about. And I would say it's the good life. And I don't know what the good life is for you. Maybe it's the beach. Maybe a good life is a trip to the beach. Maybe it's a nice trip to a cabin in the woods. How many of you go for that right now? Fall's getting ready to happen. Just get away. Go to the woods. It might be married with kids and a golden retriever. It might be being single, traveling the world. So for me, it's family, playing some golf. And if I have to, watch the Dallas Cowboys. So that's where I'm at right now. Do I have to watch them? Okay, I'll watch them. So, but I've got some awesome things in my life too, some good things that are happening. So God has blessed me in many, 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 many ways. Limitless, just keeps going on. But I want to tell you a few things that have happened to me. Just this past June, I got to celebrate 46 years with my wife Sharon. 46, that's pretty good. I think we might make it. We're getting close. We were blessed a couple years ago with two of these babies, two golden retrievers. That's Gertrude on the left, Bowie on the right, courtesy of Court and Lisa Crosby, or Santa Claus. So, but good-looking dogs, aren't they cute? Yeah, they're pretty good dogs. We kind of like them. But and then I got to do something exciting. I went skydiving. I did not do that. I would not jump out of a perfectly good plane. No way. I'm just good to look out of a plane. That's as far as I get. So I didn't do that. But if your life is like mine, and those are just a few things that have happened, good things that have happened. But if your life's like mine, good things tend to happen at the same time or close to hard things. Kind of the way it works. Very rarely you'll have all good things happen all the time, right? That just kind of doesn't exist. So either right after or right before at the same time, we experience good things and hard things, ups and downs, mountains and valleys. And I want to tell you about a couple hard things that happened in my life. When I was in junior high, my dad, who seemed in good health, just one day just kind of keeled over and we thought he had died. He didn't. He was close to it, but he didn't. He had a heart attack, recovered from it. But things still weren't quite right, so they said, hey, something's wrong here, so we're going to insert a pacemaker. And I still remember Dr. Cy Young walking down the hallway. I was standing outside my dad's room, and he was walking down the hallway swinging it, okay? And back then, no joke, I couldn't find something to kind of size it up, but the pacemaker was about that big around, and it was about that thick, and it stuck out of my dad's chest. You could see it, right? And so he was swinging. I said, what's that? He goes, your dad's pacemaker. That's my dad's pet. He's one like it. But he was just swinging it around. I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. So, but for the next 22 years, he lived with a pacemaker. Everything went well, and he could do just about anything he wanted to do. Didn't really slow him down much. So last couple of years of his life, my mom was diagnosed with multiple myeloma. Some of you might be familiar with that. She began treatments pretty quick and got on top of it, but not long after that, she started to take a turn. One Sunday morning, I was just started kids' church, got a phone call at the church. I was in the gym working with the kids, and my brother-in-law ran over, and he said, hey, we got to get to the house real quick. You need to get home. I instantly thought, it's my mom. And jumped in the car, flew to the house, and on the way there, I said, So mom, and he said, no, it's your dad. I was like, what? And he passed away that morning. And then 6 months later, my mom was gone. And so that's pretty harsh in my book. And I was ticked at God for a long time. But right after that, I had someone ask me a very simple question. They looked at me and they go, how you doing? I thought, And in my mind, flashed back all the good times I had as a kid, all the things we did, all the places we went, baseball games, football games, and all that stuff we did together, kind of just flashes through your mind. You remember all the good things, right? All the things you grew up doing, even as an adult, doing with your parents. You still remember those things. And at the same time, I had it was heavy, this thought about losing both my parents so close together. And so I think I told Sharon that I'm thankful for all the good things that are going on in my life right now, but I'm going through something really hard right now, and I don't really know what to do with that. And I'm sure God was going, oh, here he comes again. Gosh, would you give it a rest, right? Because I was on his back pretty good. I was getting after him. And so I just wish life sometimes would have been like this, right? Just level, just like that. I didn't want the ups and downs, okay? I just assumed not have those in my life. And this looks like someone who's lost their life, right? That's what it reminds me of. Now, if you've seen that before, you've probably seen somebody lose their life, and I'm sorry for that. It breaks my heart that we have to experience loss in this world. And I've lost friends, and I've lost family, just like you. Another tragedy, though, is that we are alive physically. Our heart's beating. We're breathing right now. But we're actually not living the life that God wants us to live. We could prefer, like me, to, instead of living with the highs and lows, just to chill, numb, escape, right? That's what I wanted to do. To not live the full life. And I understand. Sometimes I would rather not have the highs, but then all the lows come up, right? Sometimes I'd rather have Mondays would be a lot less easier than Mondays are sometimes. And that's what we're going to talk about today. What would it look like to walk through a life with all these ups and downs? There is this quote by Rory Nolan, and when he's thinking about eudaimonia, the good life, he says this: I have an unhealthy need for a hassle-free life. An unhealthy need for a hassle-free life. I get that. I don't like the hassle of good and hard. I don't like the hassle of healthy and sick. I don't like the hassle of mountains and valleys, right? I don't think any of us like that. I'd rather it all just be even, if possible, if that would work. And that seems easier to me, at least I thought it did. It seemed easy. But why would God allow us to walk through this roller coaster life like that? Why do we do that? Why does he do that? And that's the question I want to ask you today. See, a flat line life is passive. It's sterile. It's empty. It's lifeless. And you might experience those words in things like your relationships or your career. It's just flat line, right? That's just what it is. You might experience those words in things like your faith and your spiritual relationship with God. You may look at it that way. Have you ever felt like you would rather have a faith that felt more flat than one that was up and down? Have you ever thought about that? The reason we come to church is because we need to talk about this real fact that life is not flat. It's just not. It's not the way it works. That life is, in fact, a roller coaster ride, and there are experiences that we all face from moment to moment, and it can change very quickly. We all know that. Sometimes in the same moment, you can be experiencing something beautiful and something hard, and what does God have to say about that, right? Why does God allow what he does, and what does he give us today to help us walk through a life like that? What does he do to help us? Well, this is why we read the Word of God. This is why we believe in Scripture. Paul writes in Romans, if you got your Bibles, open up to Romans chapter 1. If you don't, there's some in front of you. It's on page 784. But this Scripture in Romans, Paul writes, and it's where we're going to start today because he wants to teach us something about our hearts and the connection to the ups and downs. So Romans chapter 1, this is verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So that verse basically means we can learn about the nature of God through the things that he has made. We can find out about God's character by studying his creation. And then look at the next verse, very next verse, verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, I want to highlight the word heart there because I think that's where we need to talk and focus on today. You know the word heart, it either Hebrew or Greek, is mentioned about 1,000 times in scriptures. That's a lot. And it's not just about the organ in your chest cavity pumping blood to your organs, right? It's scripture uses heart to describe the center of who you are, of who we are, what we're about. And not just what you think and feel, but what you believe is actually the inner part of your life that determines the condition of your life. So you learn about this in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Here's what it says. Good people bring good things out of the good they stored in their hearts. But evil people bring evil things out of the evil they stored in their hearts. People speak the things that are in their hearts. Now that basically means the condition of your heart determines the condition of your life. And that is so true. I don't think any of us could argue that. That is true. You can't have a disintegrated life. Okay? What goes on in your spiritual heart, what goes on in your emotions, what goes on in your mind is what affects how you live your life. Okay? I'll put it this way. Your heart is where you find what you believe, the truth or a lie. Your heart is where you find what you believe, a truth or a lie. So, what do you believe about eudaimonia? What do you believe about the good life? What do you believe God's plan for your life is? What do you believe about God's heart for your heart? Because that's going to determine how you wake up tomorrow and every day. That's going to determine how you ride this roller coaster life that we're on. So, I have two questions for you. One, what do you do with life's ups and downs? And two, what does the good life have to do with our hearts? So, I love the sounds of summer, okay? The beach, I love the sound of the beach, people playing on the beach, the water just constantly washing up. I love those sounds. Or at the pool when everybody's gathered around playing, cooking out, all those things. But the side I saw, the sound that I heard the most when my dad was in the hospital was this right here. I heard this constantly, the days that he was in there, and I left the sound off this on purpose, but I heard that constantly in my mind. And the more I looked at this image, the more I see it on the screens at the hospitals, the more I started to think about, this reminds me of something. And what does it remind me of? You know, what is it? And it's not just the heartbeat, what the heart's doing. It reminds me of the roller coaster life that we're on. The more I looked at it, I was like, well, that's life right there. That's what it's like, right? It reminds me of that. It reminds me of the ups and downs. And so could it be that Romans 1 is trying to teach us that God has planted a secret treasure in our bodies? Okay? To teach us something about the good life? Could it be that he's teaching us that the good life is as close to us as our chest cavity? And could it be that we could learn something about our physical hearts that relates to our spiritual lives? So that EKG reminds me of the ups and downs, the constant ups and downs, the mountains, the valleys, all of it. So I think we experience them both because you might have a relationship that went well on Monday, but then it didn't go too well on Tuesday, right? You might have had a career that was doing well in 2024, but when 2025 rolled around, you're not sure what you want to do. May have been healthy in July, last July, but put on a couple of pounds at Christmas, right? Okay? These are the things we face in life, all of us. We face all these things. We go through good and hard things. We experience ups and downs of life, and instead of trying to escape them, I think Scripture is trying to teach us that we can actually walk through them differently than those who do not believe in Jesus. I think there's something different here for us, okay? And maybe you feel ashamed of what's happened in your past. Maybe that's an up and down season in your life. Maybe you feel afraid of what's going on right now. Maybe you feel anxious about what's coming tomorrow or next year. What you believe in your heart about the good life will determine what you do about shame, fear, and anxiety. What you believe determines the condition of your life. I think it's something we all need to think about and try to wrap our minds around. Now, during this time with my parents that was going on, I was getting tired of the roller coaster. Okay, it was constantly up and down. And so I started to go after God a little bit more, sometimes a little bit more vocally, but I did. I went after him. And I started praying and simply asking God, what do you have to say about my heart and about my life right now, right? And I could only imagine the things he's like, well, you really want to know? Right? You really want to know? It was kind of awkward at first because I kept asking him. I think I told you a story. I was in the gym one time and I was doing youth ministry in Bartlesville, and I was just talking out loud to God, and I was angry. And the guy who was cleaning the church come in, and he's standing in the gym floor, and I walk out, and he's just looking up. And I was like, oh, how long you been in here? He goes, long enough. You okay? I said, yep, I'm fine. He said, okay, and he went on. So I'm sure he could hear me talking to God out loud, and I was talking out loud. But it was kind of awkward at first, but then I started to sense that God was trying to teach me something. And remember I told you I'd teach you a truth and a lie? Okay? Let me tell you the lie first. I found a lie in my heart I had believed was determining the condition of my life. Can I tell you what the lie was? Here it is. I'll put it on the screen for you. If I can control my life, it will be good. Control my life. Okay? Don't raise your hand if you ever thought that before, but I'll raise mine. Someone who had lived their life trying to control everything just about. And I didn't wake every morning going, I'm going to control everything today. I didn't wake up like that, right? I just act out of the lie because that's what I had dealt with, right? I had been afraid that if I don't control the down or the ups, that it's going to take me out eventually. So I had to try to control it. So that's what I did. I lived out of the lie. Now, there's another big word that I want to teach you, and it's called cherophobia. And it's not the fear of cherries, okay? It's not what it is. Cherophobia is the fear of, anybody? Happiness. You're thinking, what? Why would anybody be afraid of being happy, right? Seems kind of odd. Why? Why would anybody fear that? Well, let me tell you why somebody fear that. Because some people say, if I felt I'm happy on day one, something bad's going to happen on day two. So I don't allow myself to do that. I would rather look at life like this than like this, right? I'm afraid of giving myself joy because if I'm really joyful, that means I'm going to be really sad soon after. And that's the way they would look at it. And they're fearful of it. Now, you might be afraid of spiders. Anybody? You might be afraid of heights. That's me. Anybody else afraid of heights? Yeah, got a few of you. You might be afraid to date someone, get married, take that job interview. But all fear is the same. An attempt to control a situation for your safety. Okay? It's an attempt to minimize risk so your life is good. And we do this all the time. We have a way of thinking, a way of believing that control is the best way to have a good life. Now, I don't know if that's the right way. In fact, I do know, and that's not the right way. I do know. Jeremiah chapter 17. Check this out. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? That lie had built infrastructure in my heart, influencing me how I believe the world, how I live my life, even how I pray to God. It had done this to me. Not just because of the situation with my parents, but so much trauma and hurt that has happened to all of us. We've all had that. So many disappointments, so much pain, so much letdown, so much infidelity, so much betrayal has happened in our lives that made our hearts desperately sick, that we can't even see our families or our church, and dare I say, even God correctly. That's what it leads to. Our hearts are darkened, Romans 1, because of the trauma and the hurt and the pain that we have walked through. And not only that, not things done to us, but things done by us. Those things. And I know if we had to confess right now, and we would all have a list of things we could probably write down, and we'd be ashamed of what we've done to hurt other people. All of us would be. We've been the recipients of hurt, and we've been the actors of hurt, right? And it's because we are all desperately sick from a heart level. Now, if you still need convincing, let me list a few things that are fruit of a sick heart. The fruit of a sick heart are things like addiction. Maybe it's alcohol, which is an attempt to control, numb, pacify what you don't want to deal with. Okay? Maybe it's drug addiction, same thing. Maybe you're thinking drugs and alcohol are not my problem, but maybe food is my problem. And maybe food is not your problem, but scrolling through Instagram is my problem. It's a way to numb or escape or get out of dealing with the roller coaster. Don't want to deal with it right now, okay? I'd rather have a flat-line, passive, sterile life than to deal with a life that I'm walking through right now. It's not the fruit, it's the root. It's our heart is sick. Now, it comes up in sexual sin, it comes up in gossip, it comes up in pride. These are all ways to control the life that we cannot control on our own, although we try. But I have good news. We come to church not just to change our behavior, not just to impress our neighbors, right? We come to church because we want to be healed, right? We want to be healed. At least I hope that's why you're here. I hope you're here because you believe that you don't have to stay the way you are. You do not have to stay the way you are right now. You don't have to. Let me tell you some better news. There are a lot of other lies in the world right now that say the way you came in here is the way you have to stay, but there's better news. Jesus can change anybody at any time. Doesn't matter when or where, he can do this. You can be a brand new person. Your past can be washed away. God can even redeem the hard things, the most difficult things. He can turn a hospital room into a church service. I'm a witness of that. He can turn your bedroom that used to be a host of depression into a praise party. Seen that happen. God can do anything. That's why we gather, because we need to remind each other that our story is not over. Right? Our situation is not done. God is going to have the last say. Jackie Hill Perry is an author and a writer, and she says this: if I want to be different, I can't do it. God has to do it. Salvation is a miracle that only the Holy Spirit can create. This is how I would put it. This is what I would say. You can't do heart surgery on yourself. Can't. Okay? Our hearts are desperately sick. But I can't put myself on the table, open my chest cavity, clean the scalpel, take a new heart and put it in, okay? I need a professional. I need someone who has experience, someone who's done a lot of heart surgeries before. I need someone who has experience with transplanting one's heart from one person to another before and has never lost them on the table. That's what I need, right? Can I introduce you to the best heart surgeon on planet Earth? His name is Jesus. Best heart surgeon ever. Okay? He can do anything. With him, anything is possible. Listen, anything is possible. There is no shame or fear or regret or sin that he cannot heal if we turn it over to Him, if we surrender to Him. See, doctors and hospitals have figured out a way to take a heart from one person and put it in another person. It's just a miracle how they do this. All the little vessels, it's just a miracle. It's incredible how they do this. Do you know what an even better miracle is? God can take your past and your brokenness and turn you into a brand new person. Just like that, He can do it. Remember I mentioned before that I wish my life looked more like this, right? Early on, I thought, I just need my life to be like this. Remember that I said it looks like somebody who's lost their life? I'd rather live a life with Jesus as ups and downs, because I think that's the full life that He wants for us. Ups and downs. You're thinking, man, really? See, this is why we believe in Jesus. And now, you may not get a new heart transplant by tomorrow, but here's the miracle. Tomorrow you will face an up or a down. And then the next day you will face another up or a down. The difference between those who don't believe in Jesus and those of us who do is that we have Jesus. That's the difference. Psalm 51:10, check this out. Create me a pure heart, God, and make my spirit right again. And God answers in Ezekiel chapter 36. Check this one out. Also, I will teach you to respect me completely, and I will put a new way of thinking inside of you. I will take out the stubborn hearts of stone from your bodies, and I will give you obedient hearts of flesh. What that simply means is I'll give you a heart that's not holding on to the rail of the roller coaster and gripping it the whole time. I'm going to give you a different heart. I will give you a heart with your hands up. Now, I'm usually a gripper on the roller coaster. Anybody else? You're hanging on to whatever bar or handles there are. That's usually me. I love them, but I don't want to fly out of there, right? So if there's a handle, I've got it. If there's a bar, I'm holding on to it. Love the roller coasters, but I got to hang on to something. Anybody? That's me. I'm hanging on, right? I'm a gripper. But don't you want to live your life like this? Wouldn't you rather live your life like this than gripping the whole time? Don't you want to live your life like, your will be done, I give my life to you, I trust you? Whether I'm on a high mountain or in a low valley, you know what's best for me. You know me from my mother's womb. And even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I don't have to fear any evil because you are with me all the time. I will surrender to you, Lord. I can't fix myself. Will you fix me? Right? Will you save me? Will you help me? I surrender to you. That's the kind of life I want to live. Not the kind of life that controls and manipulates and betrays, but the life that trusts God. That's the kind of life I want. That's what I want. Check this out, Romans 4:12. I know how to live when I'm poor, and I know how to live when I have plenty. This is Paul talking. I have learned the secret of being happy at any time in everything that happens. When I have enough to eat, and when I go hungry, when I have more than I need, and when I do not have enough. Right? And here's the Bible verse I hope changes your life. One of the most popular Bible verses in the world. The very next verse. I can do all things through Christ because He gives me strength. All things. Hard things. Good things. Mountains. Valleys. Ups. Downs. I can do all things through Christ. Why? Because I have the heart of Christ on the inside of me. That's what we have. Now, let me tell you why the heart of Christ is so special. Because Christ went through the mountains and the ups and downs and the valleys too. Jesus was celebrated by angels when He was born and then hunted by Herod to be killed just a short time later. Jesus saw Lazarus rise from the dead, but still wept at his death. Jesus was celebrated going into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and rejected on Friday. Then on Friday, He was in the grave and resurrected on Sunday. Jesus knows the ups and downs, right? Jesus knows what it feels like to walk the mountains and the valleys in life and come out victorious. He knows what that feels like. Don't you want His heart? Wouldn't you want that in life? I mean, I know we deal with a lot of stuff, but wouldn't you want that? Wouldn't you want His love, His joy, His peace? That's what I want. That's what I was looking for all these years. That's what I kept going after is, what is this? What is this about? Because this is different. The miracle of a heart transplant is this. The only way that someone gets a new heart is someone has to give it to them, right? It's the only way they're going to get it. Someone has to die for someone else to get a new heart, right? That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's exactly what we believe in. Jesus Christ, who did not have to do anything for us, He could have thumbed his nose up and said, you people are just weird and crazy. I'm not saving any of you, right? I'm not going down there, especially you because you root for the Cowboys. No, I'm not doing that, right? He could have just bypassed us, but he didn't, right? He emptied himself of his glory, came to earth, put on the form of a servant of all people, especially in that time. For the joy set before him, which was you, he endured the cross, died for you and me, rose from the grave for our justification, to make us right with God, that we could be made okay with God, so that we experience hard and good times, and we could walk like him, we could love like him, we could live eudaimonia, the good life, like him. He's given us all that. Listen, that's a different life. It's not an easy life, it's a different life. I think it's easier. Is there ups and downs? Yeah, there's ups and downs, but I think it's a good life. That's not what the world's selling today. Not even close, right? That's not what addiction will offer you. It's not what sex will offer you. Jesus gives you a new heart, one that you can't do good deeds for or work up in your own strength. You can't make it up on your own. You can't do this. Nobody can. He gives you a heart because he loves you, and he gives it to you with only one request. Follow me. Trust me. Surrender to me. That's all you got to do. Now I'll give you the truth. Here's the truth. I gave you the lie. Here's the truth. Because of Jesus, I can have a new heart and the strength to trust him through the ups and downs. This is the good life. This is the good life. I'm going to have the worship team go ahead and come back up, but I want to pray for you. And my guess is there's probably two groups of people in the room, maybe more, but right now my heart's kind of focused on these two groups. Now, the first group would probably say, Paul, I've heard your message. I heard what you said this morning, and I think I feel something in my heart. I think I'm understanding, and I feel something, and I've never trusted Jesus. I've never really said I'm going to follow him. I've been trying to control my life my whole life. I've been trying to live the good life on my own my whole life. That's what I'm doing. So what do I do? Okay? What do I do? And what must I do to be saved from that life? And my response to you would be, you would need to surrender to Jesus. You need to turn your life over to him. Now, the second group of people, you may have been in church for a long time, but you're still holding on to the rail of the roller coaster, trying to control every piece of your life, get, grab, strive for the good life, right? Trying to control everything. I want to pray for you, too, because we all, whether you received Jesus or never met him before, don't know much about him, we all need to pray the same prayer. I surrender to you. That's what we need to pray. So we're going to do that. Can you bow your heads? I want to pray for you right now. Jesus, you are God, and we are not. We confess we need a new heart. We need your heart. We choose to believe in you, Jesus, and let go of this lie that has been in my old heart, our old hearts. We surrender to your truth. And Holy Spirit, I trust you through the ups and downs of my life. I can do all things, good and hard, through the strength you've given me. We just ask for your help. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now, right then, you may not have felt your chest cavity just open, right? You may not have felt an emotional rush. But we pray by faith. That's why we pray. We pray in faith. We pray because we believe in what he says and what he can do. And whether you feel or even understand intellectually or not, okay, God can make anything happen if